Today's shir is Masechta Shavuos, Daf Lamed Aleph. We will begin on Daf Lamed Aleph Beis, six lines from the bottom. Sangerim, Simon Sangerim, Bar, Zelus Mirma. Tan Rabbanan, Minayin L'dayin, Shloyasas Anigur L'dvarav. A dayin should not try to hold on to what he said, even though he knows that what he had originally said was wrong, but he's embarrassed to admit that what he said was wrong. So what he tries to do is that he keeps on bringing proof to what he said. That, Rashi says, is what the Gemara means to say he may not do. Another pshat that some Rishonim suggest is that a dayan should listen to each of the litigants' claims, but he himself should remain silent and not in any way try to show that one of the arguments that one of the people are saying is correct. Because by doing so, the other party is going to lose confidence because he's going to say the dayan already is on his side. So the Masha asks, when a dayan is trying to strengthen what he said when it's wrong, why is that not considered l'sata mishpat? Did you have to have an honest din Torah? So explains the Masha, what happened over here is that this dayan is not certain what the halacha is. And he's not sure what should he do. And what he's doing is that he is prepared to listen to what other people say. So that isn't a violation of l'sata mishpat. But trying to hold on to something which you know is wrong is midvash shekhet tirchak, is considered that he's doing midvash sheker, because if you know it's not 100% accurate, don't do it. The Sefer Maravsan Igra asks, why is the pas? What does the Gemara have to say midvash sheker tirchak? The midvash sheker tirchak is what you're not allowed to do here. Of course, if I know I said something incorrect, the right thing to do is to say that I was incorrect and be moida ne'emes. What is the Gemara trying to teach so? So he explains that sometimes the psak that we say is correct, but the different arguments we make to say our psak is correct may be wrong. What the Gemara here is teaching us, by teaching us midvash sheker tirchak, is what the Gemara is trying to teach us is that if we know that what we're saying is not, if we know what was said is not correct, then the halacha is I have to, and what I use to back up my psak is incorrect, then I have to say so. And not in any way, midvash sheker tirchak, not in any way remain connected to something which is not true. And that's what the Gemara means to say when it says midvash sheker tirchak. The Talmud Chacham should not have an amarot sitting with them. We should stay away from midvash sheker. And again, here too, I saw the Mefarshim explain, because even if they'll come to the correct conclusion, but associating yourself with people who don't act the right way and don't think the right way is something that's just inappropriate. I know that this person that's sitting with me is a gazlan. Or an aide that comes to say testimony says that the other knows that the other aide is a gazlan. I should not associate myself with somebody who's this, with such a person. Tamalima, the pasuk says shibvah sheker tirchak, and the reason is because when we have two people who are saying edim, then the halacha, as the pasuk says, apishne edim yakum davar, explains Rashi. And when I know that the other person who's saying testimony with me is not a valid edis, so that means the din Torah is being decided based on two edim. But one of the edim is not qualified to be an aid. And the same when you have dayanim, which will issue a decision based on them being a proper quorum. But if the dayan knows that this individual doesn't belong in that bezdin, So he shouldn't be, then this Beis Din is not a kosher Beis Din. If it's not a kosher Beis Din, then the power, the authority of the Beis Din is very different, and therefore I have to be very careful not to in any way make that happen. Dayan knows the what's going on here, that it's not the truth. So the Dayan's attitude should not be, however, the Edom, since the Edom is saying testimony, achachtenu, I'm going to paskin what the Edom say, v'yikolo tole b'tzavar Edom, and that, whatever happens, happens. I didn't do anything wrong. I'm following the letter of the law. Tamil Leimer, the Pasuk says, b'dvar sheke tirchak, the halach is that you have to be careful not to associate with something which is that dishonest. But says the Rishonim, if the Dayan knows that this is a dishonest situation, he should just walk away. But if the Dayan isn't sure, so now he could take one of two approaches. He could walk away, or he could do whatever it takes to try to get the truth out. And so the Gemara is telling us, the Rishonim say, that in such a situation where I know that I could help the truth come out, my obligation is to do what I can to make the truth come out. And there are many different halachas that are really based on this situation. There's a shaila that I saw that somebody rented an apartment, and now the person who rented the apartment wants to buy the apartment, but he doesn't want to pay the price. This was a shaila that was asked. He doesn't want to pay the price, the asking price. So what he does is, the seller, the person who owns the apartment, is asking whatever price he's asking, and he thinks he could get that price. So there's somebody else this person who wants to buy the apartment wants to get the seller to come down in price. So what he does is he gets friends of his, acquaintances of his, to come look at the apartment and offer a very low price, which will get the seller to start thinking, well, maybe this apartment isn't really worth that price. That is included in the klal of medvar sheket tirchak. Doing anything that's going to be dishonest, then the halacha is that's going to be mitzvah shechet tirchak, and that's exactly what we're learning in our Gemara. That if you see a din meruma, anything that's dishonest, you should stay away. The Beis Yaakov discusses that if a dayan is sitting in a Beis Din, and he sees that the Beis Din is going to give what he believes is an incorrect psak. So he sees, let's say there's a Beis Din, he discusses, of three dayanim. And he sees that he thinks in one way, and the other two dayanim think a different way. And of course, since we follow the majority, the psak will be with the other. So instead of voting and losing, what he does is, he says, Eini Yodea. So as we learned in Masechtas Sanhedrin, since he says Eini Yodea, then they're going to add more dayanim, and he's hoping that those two dayanim that they now add are going to agree with him. Still, that may not be done, because the halacha is that we have to do the emes, and what happens afterwards is in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand, and we just have to do the emes. And if afterwards, by us doing the emes, we think something wrong will happen, then that isn't our concern. The Shalos Teshuvos Chayav Siyor discussed the situation that somebody did an avera, which disqualifies him from being an aid, but nobody knows about it. So the halach, what is the halach regarding this aid? Yes, this aid himself knows that he's really not qualified to make a psak, to say aidus. But the fact that nobody else knows about it, how does the halacha view the situation? So he says that the fact that I know that I am disqualified from saying aidus is enough that I shouldn't say aidus. The Pesach Tshuva, however, quotes the Urim V'Tumim, says that there's a difference why somebody is disqualified. If the person is disqualified because he's a relative. So I know that I can't say testimony because I'm a relative. And the Beis Din doesn't know that. I have the obligation to disclose that I am a relative and I may not say Eidus. But in a situation where I know that I might have done an Aveira, which disqualifies me from being an aid, but the Beis Din doesn't know about it, there's no obligation, he says, that I have to go notify the Beis Din that I did Aveiris, that I should be disqualified from saying testimony. Says the Gemara, Simen, Tlosa Talmud, Utlas, Bali, Chayiv, Smartut, Shemeya, Matim. Nine on Talmud, Shesh, Shofnei, Rabbi. How do we know if there's a Talmud sitting in front of his Rebbe? Roiz, Chus, Loni, V'chayiv, L'Osher. He sees that the poor person is supposed to win and the wealthy person is supposed to lose. And he sees that his Rebbe is on the wrong track. From where we know that he should not remain silent. The Torah says, if you know something, you have to say something. So the Rishonim make an observation. The Gemara speaks about a case where the Talmud knows Schus L'Ani, that the Ani should prevail, and Chayv L'Asher. What about vice versa? So of course, most Farshim say that doesn't make a difference. The point being of the point of the Gemara is that the Talmud sees different than the Rebbe. And if the Talmud sees different than the Rebbe, he has to say. Just they explain that usually it's the rich person who is people like to find favor for. So that's what the Gemara says in this case, but doesn't make a difference. But the Marshal says the Pshat in this Gemara is that the Gemara is teaching us this case to teach us a very important point. This Rebbe, this Talmud, as he's sitting here in front of the Rebbe, has two reasons to be quiet. First of all, the Rebbe is going to be upset because he's saying different than he is. And the wealthy person, who everybody is concerned about his wealthy Rebbe, about the wealthy people, is also going to be upset. And the Gemara is teaching us that even though the person has so much to lose by saying the truth, Midvash Shekhar Tichak tells us that we have the obligation to say the truth no matter what, even no matter what the repercussions for saying the truth are. If he sees his Rebbe about to make a mistake, Shloyami, he shouldn't say Amten Ach Yegmerenu. First, let the Rebbe give the wrong psak. Vastarenu, Vevnim Shali. Let him, and then I'll be able to refute him and be able to say my own psak. Kadei Shiyoka Adur Dilashmi. That will certainly enhance my image. Tamlam Midvash Shekhar Tirchak. Another point that the Mashah says that the Gemara is trying to teach us that this person has to be concerned about Kvod Rabbi. His Rebbe is making a mistake, and as we're learning here in the Gemara, if the Rebbe is making a mistake, it is the obligation of the Talmud to try to correct the Rebbe. But part of what the Talmud should be thinking is, how can I do it in a way that will cause least disrespect for my Rebbe? And that should be part of his thinking. If we have a Talmud that the Rebbe tells me, they ought to be, if somebody gave me $100, a tremendous amount of money, I will never lie. Money, yeshli, it's plenty. Somebody owes me money. However, I only have one aid to say testimony. So the Rebbe, so to speak, is hinting to the Talmud, come and say testimony on my behalf. You know I'm certainly saying the truth. Tamalaymer, again, the pasuk says, Midvar Shaka. A person has to say whatever he says has to be true no matter what. Ask the Gemara, hi, this is what we're learning now. B'dvah Shekhar Tirchak Nifka is learned from B'dvah Shekhar. Ha Vadish Kur Mishaka. B'dvah Shekhar Tirchak represents to try to stay away from something that is dishonest. And this is not just staying away from something that this is honest. This is an outright lie. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, what's the thinking here? Rahman Amad, the Torah says, L'sana Barecha Eid Shaker. Ella, says the Gemara, the case is, Kagayin Damalei, the Rebbe tells the Talmud, Vadachat Sadisli. I have one aid that somebody owes me money. And I don't ever, chas v'shalom, ask you to lie. All I ask you is just stand there for like 10 v'lemidi and don't say anything. So, and the people standing there will think that I have two edim, and because you're just standing there. And on the contrary, and the Chazon Ish explains this Gemara, and many explain this Gemara this way. Sometimes you could even start thinking that what I'm doing is right. So what happens here is there's one aid that I'm owed money, and I ask my Talmud to stand there with that one aid. Not say anything, because Chas v'Shalom, nobody would ask and nobody would ever say something which is untrue. But because now we have two people standing here, it will probably cause that the person who we're asking the money from will be more likely to admit to what's going, to the truth. Still, the halacha says, you're not allowed to do something which is dishonest. And standing there is dishonest, and therefore you should not do it. Continues the Gemara. Money. Somebody owes somebody else $100. So the halacha is that if I ask you that you owe me money, I need to bring proof that you owe me the money. If I'm unsuccessful bringing the proof, the halacha is that I might be chaveroi all of haraya. And if I can't prove it, I can't win the dentira. But we know that the Tarek Doshe says the halacha of moedim amiktsus, as the pasuk says in Parshas Mishpatim, and from there we learned the halacha of moedim amiktsus, that if you partially admit, then you have to make a shvua. So what I'm going to do is, I'm not going to say you owe me $100. I'm going to say you owe me $200. Today shiyodli b'mana, and you'll admit to $100. And you'll have to make a shvur because of moedim amiktsus. So, and like that, what am I accomplishing? I owed 100, and you're ready to give me the 100. Because the halacha is, there's a concept of gilgul shvur, that there are cases where the halacha does not mandate a shvur, but because you have to make a shvur anyway, so the halacha is that once you're making a shvur, you have to make a shvur even for situations that maybe you would have normally not had to make a shvur. So that's what my thinking is. I want to create a situation of moedim amiktsus so that I could extract from you a shvur that I might not have been able to extract otherwise. How do we know that one may not do so? Says the Gemara, Tamalamet Vashaka Tirchuk. That too is considered Vashaka Tirchuk. I'm not allowed to make a claim which I know is dishonest. Continues the Gemara. Nayla Nashma Khaver Mana. You owe me $100, the Tana Masayim, and you claim and I ask for 200. Shloy Machbrenna Bebezdin, I'll deny, void the Lai Mchutzla Bezdin, but then I'll admit to it, but not in Bezdin, because like that will avoid the need to make a shvur. Kadei shlo yischai lo shvur, v'lo yigag lo shvur makamacha, because I want to be able to avoid needing to make a shvur. Tam loimer, the pasuk of the Vashya Ketirchak. I have to say the truth. Continues the Braisa. M'nayin l'shlosh shemana b'echad. Three people say one person owes them $100. Shloy, so what should they do? They'll make the following conspiracy. Yeyechad baldin. They'll give over the entire claim to one of these three people, and the other two, who now longer are parties, will make a claim. And they will not make a claim, they could be Edim. And if they're Edim, we know that that's the best way to win it in Torah. Kadei shiyotze menu. And then afterwards, they've agreed, they yechloiku. Tam loimer, b'dvasha ketirchak. If you are a baldin, then you're a baldin and you're not an aid. However, the Rishonim do point out that if the two people who want to serve as Edim, if the two people who want to say serve as Edim will really walk away from their claim and let one of them have the whole claim, if they're being really honest, then the halacha is that we're allowed to do it. So the question here is, and this is a very interesting discussion that the Paiskim have, and that is, Al-Gemara is teaching us how honest we have to be and say the truth under all circumstances. But the question is somebody allowed to do something which might be dishonest in order to get to the truth? There's a very famous story with the Noida Behuda, where somebody was walking in the street and he found on the street a gold coin. And somebody observed him doing so, and he was upset that that person got the gold coin. So he said that the gold coin belonged to me. And they went to the entire Benayda Behuda. And it was very clear that this person was being dishonest. But how was he supposed to deal with this Dentaira? So what he did is he asked the person to leave the room, and he started having a conversation with the other person in the room, and he says, let's look at this gold coin, and the gold coin has in it a hole in the corner of the coin, and let's see if the person who claims the coin is his will be able to provide that simen. If he'll be able to provide the simen, then it's his. This thief overheard the whole conversation. Noida Behuda calls him back in, and he says that, you know, the halacha is that if somebody says he lost something, if he could provide a simen, as we learned together in Masechta Bava Metzia, then it reverts back to him. Could you provide a simen? He says, yes, of course. It has a hole in the coin. And the Rav opened the coin and he said, well, I guess this is not your coin, because this coin that was found has no hole. So of course what his goal was to get to the truth. But here he got to the truth, and that's how this person was exposed. But he said something which wasn't true. Is that permissible or not permissible? We see how the Gemara is being so strict here and not allowing to say something which is not true, even if there were good intentions by doing so. So the Paiskim want to suggest that on one hand, there's a strong argument that can be made that yes, we see how strict the halacha is about honesty, and there's no room for dishonesty under any circumstances. But then I saw that the Paiskim suggest that if we look at the cases that our Gemara is talking about, all the cases are in the setting of a Bezdin and how the Din Torah is supposed to be followed, and that the Din Torah is supposed to be followed only in a very honest fashion. Here, it's not really the setting of a Din Torah. It's something that I'm just saying to myself in order to create a certain environment. If that's the case, there may be more room for leniency. Umanayim, Leidim Shabo Ladin. How do we know if Shnayim Shabo Ladin, two litigants come to the Torah, Echad Lavish Simartutim, one is wearing old, torn clothing, Echad Lavish Itzlis, and one is wearing nice clothing, Basmei Amon, very expensive, Shoymaloi Lavush Kamaisoi, they tell the person who's wearing the expensive clothing, either you wear clothing like him, or you help buy him clothing that are like yours. People are influenced by what they see. If a Dayan sees two people who have such difference of appearance, the halacha is that we have to even out the playing field. Of course, the Rashbah says that this is only one example of many. The point of all the examples is that we have to try to make the setting of Din Torah to be an honest setting. Also, I saw that the Mefarshim point out that even though we're supposed to have them both dressed the same, the Sma says it's only in a situation where there's such a wide disparity between the two litigants. But if there's not such a significant disparity between the two litigants, there's more room for leniency. Have also come at Rabbi Rav Huna. When two litigants would come to Rabbi Rav Huna, Amlu, Shlufa Pizmaiku, take off the fancy shoes that you're wearing, the Chusul Dinu, and then we're going to begin the Din Torah. Umanala Dain Shlo Yishma Divri Baal Din, the Dain should not hear one person's claim. Kaim Shiova Baal Din Chaveroi, Tamalayma Medvasha Katerchak. You should not listen to one party before you listen to the
other party. Tosfos points out that this halacha is taught in Masechta Sanhedrin from the pasuk Shemaya ben Achechem. Both of them have to be there together. The Ramah, however, says that if somebody comes to Rav with a question, and the question is really relevant to him and to the Torah that's going to be relevant to him, but the Torah has not yet commenced, and this person tells the Rav his story, his Shaila, and then the Torah, and then only afterwards does an official Torah commence, he still could be a dayan to that Torah. Torah of Kahana Masni, Rav Kahana says this is learned, mi leisisa shemeshav, leisasi, will listen to this person till he hear the other person. The Be'ir Yaakov makes an interesting observation. He says that our Gemara keeps on speaking about different examples of Dvash HaKetirchak. And he says that if we look at the amount of time that the amount of cases which we learn, the amount of situations that we learn from the Vashya Ketirchak, this 13. So he points out, we know that Chazal teaches us, Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. Emes is what is the driving characteristic of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says from the letter Aleph to Mem is 13, and from the letter Mem to Sof is also 13. Chos Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Emes. That 13 ways of staying away from Sheker is living in the image, is a representation of living in the image of Hashem. And of course he says, we know that there are Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachmim. He says, how is a person Zoicha, how is a person able to get that a Kodesh Baruch Hu should have Rachmanis on him, that he should be the recipient of the Yud Gimel Midah Shel Rachmim? The way we can accomplish that is with Dvar Shekhet Terchak. A Kodesh Baruch Hu has such a terrible dislike for dishonesty. A person who acts honestly is the person that will be zoicha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love and kindness. Says the Gemara, the pasuk speaks, the Navi Yecheskel speaks to Klai Yisrael about tzchar v'oinish, about reward and punishment. The pasuk says, Aviv ki oshak oishak, gozel gozel och, v'shloi tov os b'toich amov, v'ine meis b'avoinoi. Says the Gemara, pasuk, he gets permission from one of the litigants to represent him. And that is not considered proper because two reasons. First of all, why are you getting involved in something which is not your business? And moreover, somebody who's hired to be a lawyer, he wants to win the case. And he's much less likely to come to some sort of a settlement. And also, the truth is known by a person who's really personally involved. The lawyer, the Baba Shah, doesn't really know that. And lastly, the person who's a litigant could be Michael, has the ability, it's his money, he has a right to forgive the loan, the obligation. Somebody else doesn't, and we want to have peace. So he says, that's this person who's called like to us, like Toiv Asa B'Saych Amav, is the person that acts this way. V'shuama, Ze Elokei Sada Sheesh Leif Sikin. He buys a property that has on it claims. Why are you getting involved in that? Why are you getting type in that property? And then there's just going to be Dinei Torah. However, the Rishonim say, the Ritva says, you shouldn't buy such a property. But if you get such a property as a gift, that's not the same. The Mishnah said that Shavuos Eidus is only applicable. Then in the Heges El Beruin Lahayid, Lafuki Mai, says the Gemara, who the Mishnah trying to exclude? Amra Papa Lafuki Melech. The din of Shavuos Eidus doesn't apply to a king. Rav Acha, Bayakova Melfuki Mesach Bekuvya, somebody who is a gambler. Says the Gemara, Mandam Mesach Bekuvya, somebody says that a gambler is not in the parasha of Shavuos Eidus. Koshkein Melech. A Mesach Bekuvya is only disqualified from being a dayan, from being an aid, midrabbanan. A melech is midaraisa. So if a mesach bekuvya is excluded, a melech is certainly excluded. However, mandam a melech, av a mesach bekuvya, when we speak about a mesach bekuvya, since midaraisa mechse chazi, the only reason why a mesach bekuvya cannot say testimony is the two different reasons that the Gemara gives. One reason is because any Yoshe B'Shuva Shel Olam, he's not doing what people who live productive lives do. And the other reason is because the questions of earning money that way is considered an honest way of earning money. It's a smachta. Avm sach b'kuvya, but the rice mechzi chazi. It's only the rabbanon who the pasluah, so it could be somebody who's only disqualified with the rabbanon is still able to say edus and be in the pasha of shuas edus. We learned that Mishnah b'fnei bezin v'shlem b'fnei bezin. So the Mishnah differentiated where this took place, if in Beis Din or out of Beis Din. And Ramey said that if he denied by himself, then it's even outside of Beis Din. If it's through others making him this claim, it has to be in Beis Din. And the Chacham's opinion on our Mishnah is that in all situation, it has to be in front of Beis Din. The Pasuk of Shavuos HaEdus speaks about a case that others came to me and I denied their request that I should say Eidus falsely. And there, that's the case of the Pasuk. And there is no machlokes, that everybody will agree that it has to take, that for be considered Shavuos HaEdus, when others are initiating, it has to be in Beis Din. The Gemara we're going to have in Daf Lamed Daled learns from this halacha from Shavuos HaEdus, but from Shavuos HaEdus, it doesn't have Shavuos HaBikadon, where you say I'm holding something, yours and I'm not, there it doesn't have to be in Beis Din. So now Gemara explains them, in light of all of this, the Gemara explains the machlokes of our Mishnah. The Maika Mefki, so Gemara says, what is the machlokes of our Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Amru Rabbanu Kamei Rapapa, this was said in front of Rapapa, B'dam Mino Mino. When we learn something from another parsha in the Torah, in our case, we're learning Shavuos HaEdus from Shavuos HaBikadon. And the question is, do we learn it all the way? We learn the halacha that we're trying to learn from that other place, but once we learn it from the other place, then we put it into the context of the subject that we are learning. Rameh Sava, Don Mina Amina. We learn it all the way. When we learn all the way from Shavuos HaBikadon. Ma b'kadim mujmim pi atz mechayiv, af edus mujmim pi atz mechayiv. Mino, ma b'kadim bein mebezdin bein shleim mebezdin. Just like we learned from b'kadim, it doesn't make a difference who initiated the shvua. And by b'kadim, it doesn't make a difference if it's mebezdin or not mebezdin. Ape edus, the loch is bein mebezdin bein shleim mebezdin. Rabbanan tzavri, domino v'uku ba'asrei. Ma b'kadim mujmim pi atz mechayiv, af edus mujmim pi atz mechayiv. Uku ba'asra. And then we learn that the Shavuos HaEdus is Mipi Atzmai. But once we learn from B'kadon that it's Mipi Atzmai, we learn it completely. Mujmi B'cherim Be'bezdin In, Shlevi Be'bezdin Lai. Ab Mujmi Pi Atzmai, that now we're learning is subject to Shavuos HaEdus, the Locha will be Be'bezdin In, strictly in Be'bezdin, Shlevi Be'bezdin Lai. But if it's outside of Be'bezdin, that's not going to be considered a case. That's not going to be considered a case of Shavuos HaEdus. Amar Rapapa. So it says Rapapa, Im Yivkadim Gamer Rabbanon. If the Rabbanon learn the locha of Shavuos Mipi Atzmai by Shavuos HaEdus from Shavuos HaKadim, then Kol Am LePligi, everybody will agree the Dom Mino Mino, and that the locha will be that it doesn't have to be in Beis Din. Al Hanatam the Rabbanon that say it has to be in Beis Din, the Maisle B'Kavachoyma, they learn it with the following Kavachoyma. How do we know that you chay b'shvuos ha'edus when you made the shvuah by yourself? They learned the following kal v'chaymer. If you made the shvuah because others made you make the shvuah, you chay for shvuos ha'edus. Mipi atzmei lekoshkein. Certainly, if you made the shvuah by yourself, mida ma'isle mekal v'chaymer. Since we're learning it from a kal v'chaymer, da'i love him and adin li is kenidin. If we're learning mujmer pi atzmei from mujmer mipi acherim, we'll learn ma mujmer pi acherim. Everybody agrees it has to be in Beis Din because that's what the Torah said. Af Mujmer Pi Atzma, which is learned from Mujmer Mipei Acherim, has to be b'fnei Beis Din in Shlevi Beis Din Loi. Amar Rabbanan. So Rabbanan say what you said is incorrect. Amar Rabbanan Rapapa. Mimatzus Amar Dela B'Don Mino Mino Pligi. How could you say that the Machlokes is anything other than the subject of Don Mino Mino? But Tanan.
The Mishnah teaches us on the Daflam of Avon Beis by Bekodim. Shvus Bekodim, Mehagis Banosh Venoshim, Berchoikim Berkoivim, Beksherim Psulim, Befnei Bezin Shlom, Befnei Bezin, Mepi Atzmoy, or Mepnei Echerim Enechayu, Achich Bevoi Bezin, Devremeya. So we have all these individuals who are in the parish of Shvus Bekodim, because the limitation that only certain people should be in that parish is Sebei Edis, because as we've been learning in our Shurim, only certain individuals could be Edim, but anybody could be holding somebody else's assets. So they're all subject of Shvus Bekodim. And Ramea says that Mipi Atzmai, it doesn't need to be in Beis Din. Mipi Acherim, it has to be in Beis Din. The opinion of Chamer is, Bein Mipi Atzmai, Bein Mipi Acherim, Kivin Shekofa Boi Chayiv. It doesn't make a difference. Says the Gemara, Muj Mipi Acherim, Bekodim, Nol, Hulu, Rabbanon, Dechayiv. How will you know that there's a concept of Muj Mipi Acherim by Bekodim, that you're also chayiv? The lav the gamri leim edus. We learn it from edus. Mishma mino, and yet we're learning that the aloch is according. And yet we're learning that the aloch is that the rabbanon hold that it could be even if it could be not in Beis Din. But how could that be if the aloch of shuas bekodin is learned from shuas edus? And the Rabbanon hold that Shavuos Eidus always has to be in Beis Din, so shouldn't that be the halacha by Shavuos Bekodim as well? What do we see from here? That even if I'm learning something from someone else, from somewhere else, it doesn't require that I keep all the details. Says the Gemara, yes, that is a compelling proof about that concept. May he in. Mahav, what our Mishnah is like a Mishnah is not a Raya. The Chayav and Azdar and Shavuah. The chayiv for making the shvua deliberately, you're going to have to bring a carbon. Non-immili. How do we know that somebody makes a shvua sa'edis, deliberately lying, brings a carbon oil of a yoyrit? The Tanur Rabbanan says the Gebrara, brat bekulon, and all the situations where the Torah says you bring a carbon oil of a yoyrit, the Torah says the word vanellum. The kan, by shvua sa'edis, loy nema by vanellum. The Torah doesn't use the word vanellum. The chayiv, from here we learn that you chayiv al mezik ashayid. We learned of Yeshayigig with Zayin Eidus. First, the Gemara wants to know what does that mean. Hechidami Shigasayim Zayin Eidus. What is exactly the circumstances? If somebody says, I know that I'm not allowed to make the Shvua. Aval any day, I was not aware that there's a Chiyiv carbon for making the Shvua. That's called the case of Shigasayim Zayin Eidus, and that you're going to bring a carbon for as well. However, the Mishnah is teaching us that if it's a pure shagig, then you don't bring a carbon. Ask the Gemara Lema Tanina, should our Mishnah be considered an answer? The Rav Kahana and Rav Asi. We learned previously on Daf Chav Vav, where there was machloikis between Rav Kahana and Rav Asi, what they learned and shared by Rav. And each one of them swore that their version, their recollection of what Rav said was correct. When Rav came and he corroborated what one of them said, and obviously saying that the other one was wrong, so the one that swore to wrong asked Rav, did I make a false shvua because what I said was wrong? And Rav said that you libach antzcha. You thought you're saying the truth, and therefore you are considered oinus. And from our Mishnah, it seems that a person who makes a shvua b'oinus is not considered having making a shvua. That's presumably what our Mishnah meant when it said the words ve'chayov v'nashigasa greidsa. And what the Gemara means to be doing here is asking a question. So if this is an explicit Mishnah as we're learning now, why did they need Rav to tell them that, don't worry, it's not considered you made a false shvua? Says the Gemara Loi. Our Mishnah is not a raya to that halacha. Dafka of the Tanan, that even though we learned in a Mishnah that somebody makes a shvua, pure shaygig, is considered a shaygig, itzrach. Saka dat chamina, because we would think, hachahu, by shvua sa'edis, the Torah takes this lenient approach. Because as we're learning, shvua sa'edis is unique in the fact that, like Sivan Nelam, the Torah doesn't say vanellum, and that's why there's no chiyuv when it's a shogeg garbner. The binyan shumi the binyan amazed. The fact that the Torah omitted the word vanilla means that the shogeg has to have an element of mazed. He knows that he's lying. He just doesn't know, as we said a moment ago, that he has to bring a carbon. Aval hasam, when we speak over there, which we're speaking there about a shvuas pitui, the ksiv, and when the Torah speaks about a shvuas pitui, the Torah uses the word vanilam. So we would see, since we would say that since the Torah uses the word nelam, what we learn from them, from there, is a figure shugasa kaldu, any level of shogeg, you still have to bring a carbon. That's why Rav had to tell them, kamash malon, that you won't have to bring a carbon. Continues the Mishnah Shuas Aedis Ketzin. So how exactly does the Shuas Aedis work? Somebody says to two people, come say testimony on my behalf. And they say, Shuas Aedis Ketzin, we swear we don't know testimony on your behalf. Aisha Amru, Loi, they said it without a Shuas. Or he said to them, you say you don't say testimony, you don't know testimony on behalf. Swear to that effect. Vamra Amen, they say Amen. All these cases, Hareil Chayavim, these are all cases for which you bring a carbon, Shvuos Eidus. Continues the Mishnah. Hishbiya Aleim Chamish Pa'am Chutz LeBezdin. He made them swear five separate times outside of Bezdin that they don't know testimony on his behalf. And then they came to Bezdin for Hoidu, that they do know testimony. The Halacha is that the Pturim, that the Halacha will be that they won't have to bring any carbon. Kafru, if they now deny this in Bezdin, Chayovim, then they have to bake a carbon, not just what happened in Bezdin, but even what happened outside the Bezdin. The Gemara will explain this. If five times in front of Bezdin he made them swear, and each time Kafru, that they don't know Edis, and Chayovim El Achas, they only have to bring one carbon, Amrav Shimon, Matam, Hoyo, because once they said testimony in Bezdin, that there's a loch that we know, so once they said once, they can't say any more anyway. So even though they said it five times, the only time that counts is the first time. Kafru shnei edim ke'echad. If the two edim did this simultaneously, then shneim chayovim. B'zeh azeh, but first one edim did this, and then the second did this, the Rishon Chayev Hasheni Potter. And the reason is because when they both lie and say they don't know Edis, that's when they're causing damage to the person who wants them to say Edis on their behalf, because he will prevail in the entire if he has Edis. And by them saying, and of course as we're learning, saying it falsely, that they don't know Edis, so what they're doing is they're harming the person that they could have said Edus on their behalf. But if we start with two Edim, and one Ed says, I don't know Edus, swears falsely. So the case is, so to speak, lost, because the first Ed already said that I don't know Edus. So even though the second person is not doing the right thing by saying I don't know Edus, when he does know Edus, he really isn't harming him, because he doesn't have two Edim anymore. So that's why the second aid won't be chayiv. And this too will be elaborated on in the Gemara. Kafru v'hoida echad, if one of the Edim denied, and then it was moida, ha'koyf v'chayiv, the one that denied is chayiv. Ha'yishtei kit Edim. We have two pairs of Edim. The kafru shayna, if the first pair denied falsely, v'aka kafru shayna, and then the second pair denies falsely. Each pair could help this person win. And since each pair could help this person win, each pair's denial is causing the person a loss. And that's why they're both subject to the halachas of Shuas Eidus.